I'm going to talk about the most wonderful message and gift ever given. And it's free. And no, this is not an April Fool's joke. This is true. I'm going to talk about the message of the cross. The wonderful message of the cross. Now, the message of the cross, some people have called it foolishness. Some people have actually called it dangerous. But the scriptures say that for us who have been saved, it is the power of God. And basically, the message of the cross includes two events that we're celebrating this weekend. One is that Jesus went to the cross, he died, and he died for our sins. And then the second one we especially focus in on this morning is that Jesus rose from the dead, and he was resurrected with an immortal body. These two events make up the message of the cross. So let's pray, and let's ask the Lord to really give us a fresh understanding of this. Lord, I know that probably most of us here, we're familiar with Easter, Lord, the cross, what you did for us. But Lord, today as we celebrate what you did for us at the cross, we ask that somehow, Lord, that you would raise our understanding to a higher level, and that we would see the power and the beauty of the cross like we've never seen it before. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, well, the text today is going to be from Romans chapter 6, and this is going to be our primary passage, Resurrection Sunday, Romans 6, starting in verse 4. And let's kind of read it, and then let's just talk about it here. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay, Paul starts off in this passage making a comparison between the cross and what he did for us with water baptism. And at first, this seems like an odd comparison, but it's really something very beautiful. The message is something most of us know, that Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and then he rose from the dead, and it says, in newness of life. And then he goes on and says, in a similar way, we died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. We rose from the dead with Christ in newness of life. So it's like baptism. You know, in baptism, water baptism, you take a person and you take them under the ground, under the water, but it's like a burial. And who do you bury? You bury someone that's dead, right? If you try to bury someone that's alive, what are they going to do? They're going to scream and fight and whatever. So baptism is when a person goes down in the water, it symbolizes a dead person who is being buried. And when they are brought out of the water, it symbolizes our being resurrected with Christ in newness of life. So really, water baptism is really, it speaks of our identity with Jesus and what he's done. See, put it this way. When Christ died at the cross, we died with him. That is our old self that has that sinful nature and that self-centeredness. Our sins were washed away. And likewise, when Jesus rose from the dead, we were risen from the dead as well in newness of life. So go back to Romans 6, 4 and 5. It says, therefore we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead from the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly shall we also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Because we died with Christ, we rose with him. And that has some wonderful implications for us. Look at verse 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified, that is, died with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now here it talks about our old self. Sometimes that's translated our old man. And it says that that old self or old man was actually crucified with Christ at the cross 2,000 years ago. Do you get that? So who is this old self? It's the person we were born into, because after all, we inherited the sinful nature of Adam, didn't we? We were all born into sin. And so therefore, we became creatures of sin. We can't do anything but sin. That's our nature. Excuse me, I've got a tickle in my throat here. And we were born into a life in which we made ourselves the center of it. I mean, actually, when a baby is born, we have lots of babies here in our church and kids. When they are born, they're born into that old nature, aren't they? And their whole world revolves around themselves. If they want something, what do? Wah! You know, and we come running to them. And they can, you know, if they want to sleep, they want to nurse or be fed or whatever. And slowly they learn that, okay, there are other people in the world and I have to keep them in consideration. But basically throughout our whole life, unless Jesus intervenes, we are fairly self-centered. Everything revolves around ourselves. And because that's the way we were born. We were born into that. And that's the old self. But that old self has died. He was crucified. And that's a good thing. Because once he's dead, the bond of the chains of slavery are also broken. You know, back in American history, in the days where sadly, our country had slaves. The African-American slaves, they used to talk, or probably even more, they used to sing about when we die, we're going to finally be set free. Because when we die, we are free of slavery. We're free of that old nature. And that's one of the reasons Jesus went to the cross, where he could take us to the cross, and our old life would die with him. And that's why it says there in, here it says, in order, our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with. That means dead. That we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. But that's not all. Let's look at 8 and 9. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. death no longer is master over him. So if we die with Christ, we can also live with Christ. Just as he was resurrected, we too have been resurrected in newness of life, with a new man, with a new self. And just like Jesus, once he rose up, never was going to die again, he who is freed from death or from sin, we are also, we'll never die either. We will live eternity. Now, yeah, I know our physical body will die, but that's all. We will immediately keep living. The person that's Mike, the new Mike, not the old Mike, because the old Mike was crucified 2,000 years ago. Death no longer is master over me. Death has lost its power over me and over us. Living eternally is our inheritance. Galatians 2:20 is a verse that a lot of us know. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. By the way, that's past tense. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me because I have a new life. And the life which I now live in the flesh, because I still have the same body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You know, other places talk about, in Colossians 3, it talks about, for you have died. Ephesians 2, you were dead. And now, but it's not just dying, we also live with him. He gave us new life. Romans 6, 10, 11, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In other places it says, for if you have been raised up with Christ, or he has raised us up with him, this is the message of the cross. And it's wonderful that we died with him and we rose with him. Now you might be saying, wait a minute, I'm not sure I get this. How can this be? Is this for all of us? Well, yes, for all mankind, all nations, all cultures, all generations. And this was God's plan from the beginning, ever since the fall of mankind, that God himself, in the form of his son Jesus, would come to earth and go to the cross for us, to deliver us, to save us, to redeem us, to set us free, to give us new life, that we could and we would live for him. Death can't stop us from living for him now. Neither can sin, because the power of sin and the power of death has been broken in our lives. And this is a gift. It remains a mystery in some ways until God opens our eyes. Remember this, I think it was one of the last songs we sang. It talks about the wonderful mystery, or I've forgotten what it's called, but it's the mystery of Christ, what he did for us. Because you think about it, wait a minute, how can I have died 2,000 years ago? And how could I have resurrected 2,000 years ago? I was only born 64 years ago, you know, a long time from 2,000 years ago. But that's part of the mystery of the cross, is that it's part of his gift. And God will give us understanding. It'll still be a mystery, but he gives us understanding that, yes, what Jesus did at the cross, he took all of mankind who had lived, who were living, and who would live like us, and he went to the cross and he took our sins upon him, and he rose again. And so the scriptures talk a lot about our identity with Christ, that yes, we died with him and we rose with him. Yeah, it's a mystery. It doesn't make sense if you try to think of it naturally. But from a God of eternity, where future and past and present, they all blend together, it makes perfect sense. And it's by faith that we receive this gift. What he's done at the cross for me. We open our heart to Him. We say, yes, Lord, I believe. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I live for you because you died and you saw me resurrected. That's the message of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul is talking and he's writing this too, and he says, for the word of the cross, verse 18, is foolishness to those who are perishing. It doesn't make sense. I died 2,000 years ago on the cross. That doesn't make sense to me. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We see it. Yes, it's a mystery, but we see it. And that's why he goes on, starting in verse 19, he says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world came through its wisdom, did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, or to the nations, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's the wonderful message of the cross, that we've been changed because of what he's done. You know, in the next chapter, Paul talks more about this, and he refers back to a time when he was in Athens. And Athens was the intellectual city of civilization in the time of Jesus and the time of Paul. And Paul goes to Athens, and he preaches. You can read about this in Acts 17. He preaches at Mars Hill. And Mars Hill was a stadium in Athens that the great philosophers would come and debate ideas about life and the world. And Paul goes, and we have part of his message in Acts 17, and he tries to reason with the people of Athens according to the wisdom of the world. He quotes philosophers, and it's actually a great job. But it's kind of interesting that not many people responded. And then right after he was in Greece, or in Athens, he went to Corinth, which is where the letter of the Corinthians. And there he says, there, I didn't try to kind of persuade you by intellectual arguments. What did I do? I just shared the message of the cross. And you responded because it's powerful. Let's read about it. Start in verse 1. And when I came, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, like he did in Athens, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the message of the cross. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Because the message of the cross is powerful. It's powerful. It's so powerful that it changes lives. An intellectual argument is good. There's a place for that, but it doesn't reach the heart like the message of the cross does. And that's what we're celebrating today. And then if you kind of go on, verse 7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, because it is kind of a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages of our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God prepared for those who loved him. So he's saying that those who respond to the message of the cross, it may seem foolishness to a lot of people, but we know it is the power of God. Yeah, the people of the world, they can say, oh, that doesn't make sense. That's foolishness. But for us, we know it's something powerful. The message of the cross is the power of God. In fact, you could say the power of God, I think there's a slide up here. Okay. The power of God rests in the message of the cross, because that message has the power to transform us, to completely change a person, to erase all sin and guilt and set a person free, and to give newness of life, like it says in Romans 6. And this newness of life has the power to help us to do God's will here on earth. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, is that powerful? The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Of course it's powerful. If it dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. There's a power that we are given, the resurrection power of Jesus. Ephesians 3, verse 16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man. That's the resurrection power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now in you, working in the inner man. I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible. How does it happen? It can't be explained logically according to the wisdom of God, of man. But we know it because we're experiencing it. It's the message of the cross. Or Philippians 3:10. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That was what Paul was praying, that I know the resurrection power is in me, but I want to know it. I want to live it. And that's what God is calling us to. That's the message of the cross. That's the message of the cross. Now, there's one other thing. Another way the scriptures describe the message of the cross is through the word redemption. We have been redeemed. What does it mean to be redeemed? Literally, it means to be ransomed or to be bought with a price, usually a high price. You know, if someone is kidnapped, they're not going to say, well, you give me $5, I'll give them back. No, usually a kidnapper figures out exactly how much money you have. Actually, I have a good friend in Mexico City, he used to sell kidnapping insurance, but it was kind of secret because you didn't want anyone to know that you had kidnapping insurance, because if you got kidnapped, this is back in the time there's a lot of kidnapping, then you would be, you know, you could, you know, they knew that they'd try to get a lot more money out. So someone who holds someone back for ransom, they try to get a high price. And so we were stuck or imprisoned in an old life that increasingly became frustrating for us. We were enslaved. We were kept as prisoners, dominated by the kingdom of darkness. Sure, there are times that we kind of thought we were deceived into thinking that we were free, but we really weren't. We weren't really free. And in ourselves, there's no way to escape. We can't escape through self-improvement classes or books, not through education, not through making more money and having wealth. There's really no way to escape in ourselves. So God designed a plan that would set us free. And that plan's called the cross. He would come to earth and die for us. He would pay the penalty for our sins, and he would buy us back from the kingdom of darkness. Because at the fall, we all became members of the kingdom of darkness. And so Jesus paid the penalty. He paid the ransom for us to be bought back. He ransomed us. He redeemed us. And at what price? The scriptures tell us in 1 Peter 1, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. Usually, if you pay a ransom, you pay gold or silver or money, you know. But in this case, you were redeemed with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, what he did at the cross. Again, it's the message of the cross. You were bought, you were purchased at a very high price. Jesus, or God himself, coming to earth, dying really a horrible death. And it's not like we deserved it. In fact, we didn't. So now we owe our lives to him who set us free. We choose to live for him and to spread the news of his redemption and the gift that that is to a world that's still being held captive. Will they listen? Some will not, but many will. You know, I was trying to think of an illustration, and no illustration can really do this, but let's say you were born into a prison. It was a one-room house, maybe about the size of this stage. And maybe it didn't have bars on it, but it had, you know, it had a big lock on it. You were born in that, and that's all you knew. Sometimes the door would be unlocked, and you could go outside to a small yard. But then there's a big wall all around you. Your whole life, all you knew was this little house and this little yard around. And sometimes you didn't even realize that this is all there is, that there's more on the outside, that I'm enslaved here. Because the slavery that the kingdom of darkness has over us, it's subtle. It's deceived. It's deceiving. So we're here in this little, and we live our life this way. And we're actually, the master actually beats us, not with whips or rods, but he has a way of putting fear in us and anxiety. And by the way, fear and anxiety, hate, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, even selfishness, greed, those things enslave us more than if we were in chains and had a whip. And so he subtly, master, he controls us by these resentments and bitternesses and things like this. And that's our life. We don't know any different. And then one day, someone comes and says, listen, there has been someone who paid the price to open the door here and to tear this lock off and also the lock on the wall. And now you're free to go. That's God's gift. And the invitation is walk out of that place and join the one who sets you free to going around to many other little prisons and spreading the word. And helping to unlock doors, because there's a lot of people in this world, billions, who are still in prison. That's kind of the illustration that the best I can do to kind of describe what we're doing. Now, there may be some people that, okay, listen, someone just kind of unlocked the door for you, you know, and also to the gate, and you're set free now. And they may say, I don't believe that. That's not true. There's not a world on the other side. Well, why don't you open the door and step out and see? Nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm content where I am. That's the way a lot of people are. And they stay there, even though it's been paid for them. Even though they've technically been set free. They stay there and they choose. They don't believe. And so therefore, they never know what's out there. That's not what we want to be like. We want to be people, yes, Lord, I believe. I don't understand it. I don't understand that there's another world because I've never seen it. But by faith, I'm going to follow you, and I thank you. And once I step outside, wow, this is a great world. There's so much for me to enjoy. But the one who set us free says, I want you to enjoy this world, this new world, but I also want you to join me in spreading the word around and going around and letting people know that the door's been unlocked and they've been set free. I've paid the price for them. Now, would we kind of say, no, I'm not going to do that. You set me free, and that's okay. I just want to enjoy my life, and I'm not going to help you. Sadly, that's what a lot of Christians do. They may not say it that way, but that's their attitude. Or even worse, some people step out and say, wow, this is beautiful, but I feel more comfortable in here. I'm going to go spend my nights in my own little bed, my little straw bed in my prison. And so, and maybe every now and then they kind of look outside, oh yeah, I'm going to close the door. They've received the gift, but yet they kind of live where they live in the old man. God has set us free. He set us free. That's the message of the cross. That's redemption. He bought us back. Jesus, when he went to the cross, his gift to us was that we all died with him. And when he rose, we all rose with him. It's the gift, as Romans 6 says, to those who believe, who to those who kind of grab on and say, yes, I'll take that. He paid a high price for us. Death, a torturous death at the cross in order to set us free. And our response, Lord, I want to live for you. And I want to praise you forever. I want to thank you forever. In fact, if you look at the book of Revelation, that's what they're doing, praising him forever. Because we're redeemed. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. They're praising God, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seal. For you were slain, that is, you died for us, he's talking to Jesus, and purchased for God with your blood men, and that's generic, includes women too, from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and we could also say in every generation. He purchased that. They're praising God. They're singing a new song. Or another in Old Testament, I like this verse in Isaiah 35. It says, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord. Who's the redeemed? Who's the ransomed? That's us. Those who've been set free and have taken that gift of freedom and walked out. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy on their heads. I like that. Joy is just kind of on your head. It's like your hair. Wherever you go, the hair goes with you, right? You know, I'm kind of starting to miss some hair, but, you know, just kind of pretend I have a lot more. But, you know, wherever I go, my hair goes with me. In fact, when I went to France, when I went to Israel, where did my hair go? It went with me. That's the way everlasting joy is. Wherever I go, if I'm redeemed, that joy wants to go with me. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Everlasting joy will be on our heads. We find gladness and joy. We see sorrow and sighing vanish. Why? Because we are the redeemed. Yes, we are the redeemed. Those who've been set free. That's the message of the cross. So let's kind of take this to ourselves. There's two ways we can... there's two different things God could be speaking to us. One, perhaps you've heard of the message of the cross in parts of it, but you're still kind of within that little house and that little yard. You think, that's all there is for me. And God is inviting you today. In fact, he's saying, I have set you free. That's my gift. I paid the price for it. And he invites you to believe that and to take his hand and to walk out of that prison. Now, again, it may not look like a prison to you because that's all you've known. You grew up in it. But it's a prison. And if you're really honest with yourself, you know that deep down, I'm not content. There's not a peace. There's not certainly not the everlasting joy. And maybe there's the skepticism in you that says, but that can't be true. Take his hand and walk out and let him show you a brand new world. It's called the kingdom of God. If that's you, I invite you to make today, Resurrection Sunday, a day that you say, Lord, I want to be free. I accept your gift. Or maybe you're someone who you've kind of accepted that gift, kind of, sort of, and you've kind of gone out, you've looked around, yeah, but you've kind of retreated back in that prison, and you kind of live there. The Lord is kind of telling you, it's time for you to get out and go out and to stay out of that prison, because he has a brand new life for you. It's newness of life. That's what he says. And that's the invitation for you. Or maybe you're outside and you're there and you see the new world, but you're enjoying it all for yourself. And Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to join me to go to the rest of the world and spread the news of people, you know, that they've been set free, that I've set them free, that I've purchased with my own blood their salvation, their freedom. That's really what we want to do. You say, yeah, but I want to kind of enjoy this new life. You know what? You have all of eternity to enjoy life. But you only have this life to be able to kind of share the good news of the freedom that we can have in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the cross and all the wonderful implications of it. Yes, Lord, our sins were covered. They're erased. But also, Lord, our old man was done away with. It was crucified at the cross. Lord, we thank you for that, because now that we have died, we're set free from the slavery. We can march forth into another world, into a new life that you have for us. And Lord, we also thank you, Lord, that what you did at the cross 2,000 years ago, we were resurrected in newness of life. Lord, we receive that gift. We want to live for you, and we want to walk out of the prison or that old life that we've been in bondage to all our lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen.